In 1993, a movie that changed special effects released. It was titled Jurassic Park.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
In 1994, a low-budget dinosaur film released that changed absolutely nothing. This piece of shit was called Dinosaur Island.
They do move in herds.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe. Somebody help me.
And what are we doing today, hon?
We're talking trash.
Talking trash. And it's killing the microphone.
I can't.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show, too. Review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you have to know what the worst movie is to truly review films. And today, we're in our TNA month, and I went full on TNA.
I mean, did you though?
Yeah, this is the most TNA flick.
I feel like we could have gotten more TNA-er.
Well, we actually watched the edited version of the movie we're talking about tonight, and that is 1994's Dinosaur Island, directed by Fred Olin Ray, who did our movie last week, Evil Toons. And Jim Wynarski.
Good enough. I'm not even looking up his name to try and help you because I don't care.
He also did a crap loads of bad movies I've watched on the show. Okay, so the whole reason we are doing this movie in the first place is because last week I said, while researching the little bit of research that we actually do on this show, Fred Olin Ray, I said, while looking at his bikini list as a joke last week, I saw a movie called Dinosaur Island on the list, and I said, okay, I wonder if this is the movie that I thought I invented in my head. Because when I was a young lass of 16 years old...
You were a lass?
A little lass.
Wait, is there something I should know about you?
Is that a woman term?
Yes!
No, it's
you're
not.
You're a lad, not a lass. You're a boy. You're a lad, you fool!
We're going to cut that out.
Oh, I'm a lass. I'm a lass. I'm a girl.
Calm down. Let's backtrack. I'm going to erase all that.
No, you're not.
No, I'm totally cutting it out.
No, you're not. You leave all my shit in.
Do I?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're leaving that in. God damn it. You're a lass.
Get closer to the microphone. You're echoing, for God's sakes.
Is this good?
Yeah, that's much better. When I was a young lass, when I was less of an ass and I was a young lad, I watched at night. I guess we were tapped into our next door neighbor's feed because they had like that hacked thing in the cable box where they had all the channels. But for some reason, we also picked it up because our lines were going into each other. And so I would watch these late-night films on my little shitty TV. And this is one of those movies that I watched, and I think it was like on an HBO at night, you know, type of thing. And I would watch it, and it is the most pornographic thing. Well, softcore anyways. But for a 16-year-old, I was like, whoa, what the hell did I just wander into?
Boobies.
I thought, this is what a porno is. I've heard porno before. Here's I know this is what a porno was.
But they don't show any sex.
So we watched the edited version tonight, and there are sex scenes in the movie, but, you know, just virtually a girl gyrating.
Pretty much.
But that was enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so for the longest time, I thought, there's no way that movie existed. It must be one of these weird movies that I saw, and I blended in a couple movies that I used to like as a kid. Dinosaur movies, you know, women savage, like, you know, Amazonian women and army guys. I thought maybe I invented this piece of crap. But it turns out that I didn't. So we rewatched it, my first time watching it since I was a kid, thinking this was fake the entire time. Because I had never, I never knew what the title was. This is the most generic title, too.
And you thought that it would be a super great idea to subject the one you love the most to this?
Well, isn't that the point of what we do here?
Yes.
Last 2 weeks in a row, yeah, we've been watching the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
So how do we, come on, it's TNA month. We're joking around about movies that are all just virtually built around TNA.
Yeah, but we have more after this, and I feel like, one can more. We get any lower?
Well, we're going to, no, I think we're going to go to a high point. You picked the movie next
okay,
week.
Okay, okay. Yes, I did. I did pick it.
So, because that's a movie you hadn't seen. So this week, it was like a fresh watch of trash. And you have a lot to say about this movie that I chose this week.
Oh, God, help me. I mean,
have you looked at the poster for this movie?
Yes, I have.
It's the best poster.
It is a
but
really...
But the worst...
Yeah.
Let's just talk about false advertising in movies and how the late, great Roger Corman was a producer on this movie. He uncredited, didn't even want his name on it. He had his name on this movie. Around this time, Roger Corman movies had the best poster art made ever. Anybody would walk around in a video store and saw these boxes, we're going to rent them instantly.
Yes, but it was a big deception.
It's a huge deception.
Because, I mean, I'm looking here at this poster for Dinosaur Island, and wow, is this woman perfection on here, but... This movie doesn't look anything like that.
No, the movie doesn't look anything like that. But I will say, at least, the lie isn't that the women are not good looking.
Oh my gosh.
This movie's wall-to-wall playmates.
They all stepped out of Playboy.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm sorry, in the movie, it's Playpen.
Playpen. I think Playpen is a real magazine, isn't it?
Get the hell out of here.
I think it is. Isn't it?
What company was that? Because I know there's like... Playboy, Hustler, and what is the other one? Penthouse.
It is.
Playpen was a real thing?
Wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about this stuff.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of... No, maybe I'm getting it confused with Playgirl.
I thought they took the two names like Playboy and Penthouse and stuck them together and made a joke. I thought that's what that was, but if you're telling me it was real,
No, it's not real. It's not real. I'm thinking of Playgirl, but that was the magazine for...
That's the male...
The male equivalent.
The female equivalent, like for them.
Yeah.
Right? It was like Naked Men instead?
Yeah, it was Naked Men.
Have you ever looked at one of those?
No.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was just wondering, every time I meet a woman, I'm like, has anybody ever looked at one of these?
I feel like it's just... I don't know. I feel like if you open up a Playgirl magazine, you're just going to see like a limp schlong hanging there.
It would be
weird.
With
like lots of like not manscaped areas, and I don't like that.
Yeah, just envision that famous centerfold of Burt Reynolds on the rug that everybody's seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all hair.
And I can't do it. I don't like hair.
Yeah.
So
sorry about that.
I mean, what are you talking about?
Guess
you have a perfect chest. It's
okay,
perfect.
Let's move on.
Anyway, I'm just saying. I never looked at one. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. It wasn't because I was not curious to look at a Playgirl magazine. It was because when you go to the store, like any bookstore or whatever, they would be covered up with plastic. They would be in a plastic wrap, so you can't look at it. So that's how they protected the children if they were in a bookstore. you know, I mean, I'm sure one or two young kids went in and opened one of those plastics, but
yeah, because I remember we had the famous newsstand you would go to when you were kids, and you would get the gum and you would get the cards and like the garbage pail kids or baseball cards. Mm-hmm. And they had the magazine section, and you would go sneak over there and pretend you weren't looking. And always is that one kid that stole a Playboy or whatever. You knew that one guy. So, like, that's the only way I remember ever seeing this stuff, was that that one guy would steal one magazine and run out.
Yeah.
You know? There's like, that joke that all kids know that, or all people hear about before the internet, about, what was that? Oh, you go to the woods and everybody would hide the Playboys. That's a thing. You see it in the movies and you're like, there's no way that's a thing. People would store their magazines out in a certain place. How gross is it that everybody would look at the same magazine?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to touch that.
Thinking about it now, you're like, God, well, you're nasty.
That's gross.
But that was the only outlet for even knowing, you know, what was happening. Now the internet, everybody just has, okay, I can go look at a schlong, I can go look at boobs anytime I want.
Yeah, I don't know, this is not my jam. Like, I don't know, even thinking about it now, if I did have access to a naked guy magazine, I wouldn't want to look anyway, because there's just something, I don't know, everyone looks like Tom Selleck, you know? From, like, Magnum P.I.
Exactly, I said Burt Reynolds, he went Tom Selleck.
Like, you know, like, I just feel like, we are not stuck in 1982, I'm just saying. Yeah. But, like, back then, I would feel like, ew, boys, gross.
You know? So true. Like, and, you know, speaking of things out of time, this movie, it is a good segue into the movie. The movie, what time is each character from? You know, in the movie that we're talking about today, I mean, we have hardly talked about it. We've been talking about schlongs and hair more than anything else.
I mean, is there anything to really break down here?
The point of this movie is that some soldiers crash land and somehow go through time and find a... Now, I don't even know if they have gone through time.
Okay, no, they haven't gone through time.
They just crashed into an island that is standing outside of time because of water?
Okay, so... we're talking about army guys. Now, these army guys could not possibly be any less army guys.
True.
They are bumbling buffoons. They are just awful. The only one that has a brain cell in his skull is the sergeant.
You're about to hear one of the strangest stories in military history. I know because it happened to me. Captain Jason Briggs, army career man for 23 years, no visible scars. At least until that day we were flying some 30,000 feet over a very empty section of the Blue Pacific.
Yes, that's Ross Hagen from Action USA, Blood Games, and Alienator. He plays Captain James Briggs.
Yes, he's a bad movie all-star. But
yeah, they all are.
I will say that we're dealing with how many of them? Five. So they're in... some plane going who knows where. They don't even say.
We're flying some 30,000 feet over a very empty section of the Blue Pacific.
Well, so they're bringing these, apparently they're two, the captain and Sergeant Healy.
Along for the ride was Sergeant Ben Healy, my second command since I was stationed in Seoul. A good tough man, but a royal pain in the ass sometimes.
Who is, somebody we know is the immortal, legendary actor and writer and director and producer of Empire of the Dark.
Oh, good Lord.
Steve Barkett. He plays Sergeant Healy. Him and Healy and Captain, whatever the hell his name is, Briggs, they're bringing these three other soldiers to jail.
Okay, now can I ask you something? If they're... the one problem number one here... it's okay, they're bringing these three guys to jail. However, why are they still in army fatigues?
Yeah, that's a, sorry. That's a great question.
So that's number one. Number two is, why are they bringing them to jail? We hear the answer to this, and I still don't understand. So
yeah, there's three guys, right? We got this Richard Gadini from Demon Wind. He plays John Schemer.
And finally, there was Schemer, a pathetic, shiftless recruit who certainly lived up to his name. According to the report from Honolulu Command, he was the mastermind behind the theft of the tank that got Turbo and the brain in hot water.
His name is Schemer. Guess why? Because he makes up schemes.
Okay, and he's also the worst, most annoying character in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two other guys. One guy's named Turbo.
Private Wilbur Tabowski, or Turbo as the others called him. To me, he was just another prisoner headed for military court in San Diego.
And yeah, and the other one's Brain.
They said Private Wayne Kincaid was the brain, but the kid looked as lost as his cohorts. Like Turbo, he was facing charges for going AWOL.
And apparently what Schemer had them do was help them steal an army tank.
Little did we know that we were all about to find ourselves in hot water, with little hope for survival.
And I don't know for what purpose, I guess to do some stupid wacky thing that he does. And they caught them. And so now they're being sent to jail.
Okay, this is what you do. You're in the army.
And you steal a tank.
You're a military.
I mean,
you're
why not?
Military man, and you decide you're just gonna steal a tank? Why? To go joyriding?
Have you heard Schemer talk?
Okay, this guy is the dumbest mimbo on the planet.
I brought up why the out of time because what year is it supposed to be from these army guys?
They don't say.
Well, what would you think?
I mean,
do you think it's the time period of when the movie was released, or do you think there's some other time period?
I feel like it's early 80s.
I mean, well, since the movie comes out in 94, which is crazy, and you know it only took 12 days to film the movie.
Oh, my God.
On and guess what, Joe? Sorry to do this to you again. On David Carradine's ranch.
Oh, so, son of a bitch. Why always have to come back to
it? Always comes. It always comes
Carradine.
Back.
Ugh.
Yeah, okay, look. Here's the problem with this. Now, the references that they make. Now, Schemer talks like a 1950s con man character.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, he always makes jokes like.
I know it's more like 30s.
Yeah, that was way. That's early. It was. It's more like he's almost like a Marx brother. Like, he's saying stupid things, and everything's like a punchline. And then the other characters constantly reference the Honeymooners.
One of these days, ass! Hello, ain't the kisser!
Yeah.
What is going on with their dialogue?
Here's the thing. Nothing about these guys and the way they speak will suggest that this movie's taking place in the 1950s.
Well,
no.
Their dialogue is bizarre. The guy's like talking about, well, they have a magazine from present day.
That's true.
But he keeps talking about, someone says, oh, you have to kill the great one. And then he goes, Jackie Gleason? It's like, okay, who gets that joke?
Yeah.
In 94, who gets that joke?
Yeah, he's all of like, what, 20-something years old?
Yes. And then the other one says, at the end of the movie, he quotes, one of these days, Alice, and he's like, yeah. Straight to the moon. I'm like, okay, a Honeymooners joke.
You can tell this is written by an older person, this movie.
Yeah, well, apparently what I read was that it was originally supposed to be World War One or World War Two? I think that they were coming from.
Okay, well, thank God they changed it because it would make no sense.
Yeah, they just said no. They modernized it.
And I can't believe I just said, "Thank God they changed it."
I know, right?
I am baffled by my own statement. Whatever. All right, so they crash. Their plane crashes. No, we don't see them survive the water landing of the plane.
No.
We just see them in their little dinghy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're pulling into shore in their little blow-up raft.
Yeah. And who's this other guy? Is he the pilot?
I'm guessing he's the pilot.
Was there another guy that they mentioned in the plane? Was there four people?
No,
that were
I'm going to say he's the pilot. So there's an injured man in the dinghy.
Corporal Buzz Brannigan was up front at the controls, helping me escort three of the sorriest excuses for soldiers it had ever been my displeasure to meet.
And so they're pulling him from the water onto shore. Now, like I said, they don't have the budget to show us the plane crash or how they all survive without a scratch.
No.
But there's this one guy who's injured.
Yeah.
And we all know what's going to happen here.
I love that he asked for a cigarette and they give him a cigarette and he just all of a sudden can't even figure out how to use his hands anymore.
He just
starts smacking it out of his mouth.
I have no words for this particular scene.
That had me laugh really
hard. The best thing about this scene is that they're like, oh, we have to get this guy out of the sun. He's really injured. Let's get him out of the sun. Oh, look, there's a cave. So instead of leaving him in the cave and letting him stay out of the sun and trying to patch him up, they literally take him through the cave and out the other side.
Yeah, it's just like
and
a mountain.
Back into the sun.
Yeah, it's just like a rock formation that you could just walk over.
Oh my God.
Under. And they walk right under and they go into the water again to get around another rock.
It makes no sense. I mean,
and they leave all of their boxes of ammunition.
Now, this is the most amazing thing, too, is that, oh, look, our supplies washed up out of the plane that just crashed into the ocean.
Exactly.
When? Yeah, no, when did this happen?
It didn't even wash up. They just said, hey, it's over there. How did that happen?
What? How did the cargo in the fucking plane get onto the freaking island before they arrived?
I guess it was in the water, and then the women on this island took it out of the water?
Okay, no. Now you're just reaching. That's not even possible.
I'm just saying that he points it out. How weird is it? It's stacked over there.
I just can't. It's perfectly stacked over there. It's just... I knew what I was in for 2 seconds in, but Jesus, it gets worse.
No, there was no way you could have imagined what was about to happen.
You know what? Honestly, you're right. I did not have any clue about what I was getting into here until I saw... It. So here comes the dinosaur. Now, this thing...
Yeah, some of them leave, and they go over the hill, and they run into some women who are bathing. And then they hear gunshots, so they run back, and then now they left one guy, the brain, whatever the hell his name is, with a guy in the raft, in the sun, baking, the dead guy. And then, what were you about to say?
The fucking dinosaur looks like my 4-year-old nephew sculpted this out of clay. It was so bad looking.
This one isn't clay. This one is clearly a hand puppet.
Oh my God.
This is and the funniest part you can tell that it's a hand puppet is its legs are so far apart. So far apart up in the air. Like a spread turkey. And what I love is that the hand puppet is clearly coming out of the ocean.
Yes, okay. Now, this thing, does it look like a T-Rex or not? It looks like some sort of a T-Rex.
It's like a green T-Rex or like a...
With tiny arms.
Like a pterodactyl that has wings ripped off.
Oh my God. It has tiny arms. So, okay. This dinosaur is clearly not a sea-dwelling dinosaur.
No. Yeah.
What? I'm like, why? It comes out... Kills the guy that's injured in the little dinghy.
He doesn't even kill him. He just swallows him.
It just swallows him, but it takes him 20 minutes to swallow him. So they're just showing you I would say this goes on for at least 3 to 5 minutes where he has the legs hanging out of his mouth. Not moving or kicking or flailing. He's dead.
Yeah.
But just hanging there. Like somebody took like a puppet dinosaur and put a G.I. Joe in his mouth.
Exactly what this is.
What it is.
It's exactly.
It's a freaking G.I. Joe.
We didn't even talk about the opening credits that are just like colors with some lettering on them. And one of them actually says they highlight who did the special effects. I thought you were going to bring that up because that's insane that they wanted to put their name on it.
I would never, ever put my name on this. I would
this
hide.
This is next level bad.
Forever. I would hide. I would find a cave and hide in it.
Yeah.
Because I would never admit that I did the special effects on this film.
Yeah.
This thing, this is the worst thing. I mean, we're going way back to the freaking first Godzilla movie with those special effects.
Oh.
And those special effects are better.
Yes.
Than this.
Oh, yeah. Okay? You're scaring me there for a minute.
No. Those special effects from the original Godzilla movie are better than this. This thing, I don't even know what is happening here. This just sets the tone for the whole entire movie. My jaw was on the floor.
And mostly because a bunch of, like, women in, like, loincloths run up and tell the guys to stop shooting it. And they defend it by just pointing spears at the monster, which actually stops them. Not the bullets, not the gun sounds, but spears and women just saying, back, back. He goes in, he disappears into the ocean.
It's amazing. Okay, well, can we talk about their outfits, first of all?
Well, once you saw that, I started laughing.
I couldn't believe it.
You instantly were laughing. You're like, they're in full makeup.
Okay, they all have different color lipstick. They all have their eyes done up. And they all are wearing what is supposed to be rags, you know, like just to cover up their bits. But they have underwire in their freaking bras.
Clearly has it.
I'm like, oh my God. And then when they're running, you can see the flap. And then they're like, they have like a black G-string on underneath the loincloth. I'm like, oh Lord, they're not even trying. And it's fine. It's fine. We don't even need them to try, because these women, like, you automatically know right off the bat, like, they are gorgeous and they're going to get naked. And that's all that matters here. Not the crappy dinosaurs that somehow, you know, doesn't have gills, but is water dwelling.
Agreed. This is a movie clearly based to make a 16-year-old Scott be like, ooh.
16-year-old Scott.
In the middle of the night hiding the I gotta put the sound down. What is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's, you know, boobs. You don't need sound at all in this movie. You just keep it on mute and just watch the jiggles. Because that's really what this movie is, 100%. I mean,
that's what I'm like, this was what it was made for, and it's doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on the one hand, you're like, yeah.
I will say this, though. When we get the scene of the army guys coming into, you know, contact with the beautiful women, there is not one woman out of this whole tribe of women that doesn't look like she just literally stepped out of a Playboy. Like, they're all beautiful.
Yeah, they're all beautiful.
Beautiful and
this
perfect.
Is not the Wild Women of Wongo, where that one woman is like a savage, like a manly savage kind of woman.
No. These women, I mean...
No, these women are all like perfect.
They're perfect.
They apparently have had a plastic surgeon on the island doing boobs.
Oh, of course. And, you know, spray tans and Jane Fonda's workout.
And that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Well, see that in the opening, too, when we actually do get to see, before the army guys even are introduced in this movie, we do get a woman painted in blue like an Avatar character, completely topless, dancing in a ritual for a woman that's, like, kind of, like, tied up. And then we see, and she's just screaming. And then she, of course, rips her top off. And you just started laughing. You're like, all right, we already know what this is. But then we saw the monster.
Yeah.
And which was a T-Rex. But, like, more of a T-Rex than the green one. And better looking, but still bad. Comes up to, I guess, eat her.
So she's a sacrifice.
That's how the movie actually opens. It opens right out of the gate of what you are expecting a TNA up all night movie to be.
Yeah.
And the funniest part is anybody who likes schlocky bad movies will actually instantly know what this monster is. Because the dinosaur here is Carnosaur. Roger Corman gave them Carnosaur to use in this film.
Yeah.
So they can get, you know, because Corman, he knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He would completely reuse all of his stuff. The same actresses, the same, Carradine? Oh, you got a ranch? Get everybody on the ranch. Let's make a dinosaur film. That's all this movie is. And when you see Carnosaur, you're like, okay, I already know. I already know what we're in for, you know? And so, yeah, of course, the army guys get brought to the base of their location of where they all are. And we get that whole cliche thing about how, oh, you're going to be sacrificed. We're going to kill all of you because you're men and you're stupid and all that. And men aren't, whatever. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And of course, the leader of the tribe, there's no men on the island, the whole thing. But the best part here is that they accidentally send them all to get killed, and one of their sleeves goes up, and he's got a terrible drawn-on smiley face tattoo on his arm that disappears. It's not there the rest of the movie later on. It's there, and they say he has the mark.
Is it like the mark of the sun god or something? They think it's a sun.
We have a prophecy on the island that five people will land from the sky. They will give us food, and one of them will have this marking. And when they show the scroll, there is literally a smiley face in the corner of it as the marking that will be from, and these five will be gods.
Yeah, they have like a prophecy scroll. And so there's literally a painted on smiley face on there. And I was like, you're kidding. Like, this movie knows what it is. Okay.
Exactly. It knows what it is.
But these, okay. So there's the three criminals that are being, you know, being taken back to wherever to go back to jail. Okay, fine. These three people are the worst cliches. I mean, they're all a cliche. And then the fact that there's these three beautiful women. Now, mind you, these women don't know shit about shit. They really have, I don't even know if they've ever seen a man.
No.
So they don't have any idea what anything is. I can't even believe that they can speak English.
Yes.
They all have the most perfect bodies, perfect everything, perfect hair, perfect faces, perfect teeth, everything. And they actually like these three dweebs.
Well, like one of them says, they don't have anything to compare it to. So to them, these are good-looking people.
I mean, I guess you're right. But how would you even know if you're constantly surrounded by women? And first of all, how do we, I mean, first of all, there's a question right there. How the fuck is this island, how is it even populated? You need men to impregnate women to create.
They're ageless. What's crazy about this movie is they actually explain itself.
They say they're ageless women, that they're really old.
They might be like, especially the three that they like, they say that they're the oldest. In next in line, we know that the queen is the oldest, but they're the next in line to be sacrificed. So they're the old. They said they could be like 3,000 years old.
Okay, but at some point there had to be some sperm. Okay, so who's creating these women?
Okay,
I want to know. Are they falling from the friggin' sky?
Like what? Apparently they are also washed up on shore somehow, because they talk about how there was a missionary. That there was like nuns with them, and they had all their people have come to the island, and they're the ones that came up with the whole prophecy of somebody coming in the sky. It's so crazy. They say that.
They didn't say nuns.
Yeah, they said missionary.
You know, you girls never even told us your names.
Our names cannot be spoken in your language.
Our language, you speak English.
But it is not our native tongue. It was taught to us by missionaries who landed here many moons ago.
Missionaries?
They came from the sea, just as you did. At first, we thought they too were gods.
What happened to them?
They went into the jungle to slay the Great One.
And?
And never came back.
They did say missionaries.
A missionary, which is usually nuns. Well, right?
Not always.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
It could be just...
I also thought that... the queen says, acts like she has seen men before. Reference men as like they know what they are, but they don't. They haven't seen them. It's very confusing. So it kind of sounds like they were, but for some reason, the island keeps everybody young.
Okay.
Well, because of the water.
That's fine. So I guess they always stay the same... Like, at what point did they stay the same age, though? Like, they were obviously babies at some point.
Yeah, and if they're 3,000 years old, I'm guessing they are aging, but extremely slow. Because they said they've become to the age of sacrifice.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe we're trying to...
I know. I cannot believe this movie actually gives a shit to even try to make any of it make sense. Who cares? Because they are so funny because they have writing like that. Where they're trying to, like, oh, we'll actually make it make sense. And then they have writing like this, where they go, oh, you can't say our names in your language. And he's like, your language is my language.
They're speaking English.
English. So why couldn't I say your name? So it's all there only to set up as a joke, because what this guy, Schemer, actually has this playpen, this Playboy with him. And he shows these girls and he goes, I'll name you. We got to give you guys, your girls' names, the three main girls that they seem to like. And which is funny. You think they would just be like, especially Schemer, because he's a dick. You think that he would just be like sleeping with everybody? No, he falls in love with one instantly. Not I don't even know why. He says he's in love instantly with this one woman.
This character does not seem like that would happen. He seems like he would be like a frat boy, like chasing tail all over the place.
And later on, he even makes a joke about it. He's like, oh, are you sure we have to be like this? Like, monogamous? Like, can I just sleep with everybody? And I'm like, why didn't you do that from the beginning? He actually tries to date somebody before sleeping with them. When one of the other characters is like, yeah, let's just sleep together. I'm like, Schemer, of all people, is just not trying to get laid. He's actually trying to date somebody. Like, it's so odd. But he has this Playboy, and he names the three main girls, like,
April, May, and June.
Yes, April, May, and June.
But, like, here's the thing. Like, these girls have never had sex before. Never. But they understand the art of seduction so well, because Schemer made them read a playpen magazine. It's like, here, study this magazine.
Study this magazine.
And you'll know what to do.
It's not like there's sex acts in it.
No, but they can't read.
And they have, because she's like, oh, is that one of your turn-ons or turn-offs? I read the magazine.
How?
Or I read your scroll. And I'm like,
oh my God.
They can read the English language as well?
No.
It's so odd.
No, because they can barely even speak English. I mean, they do speak English, but they pronounce words wrong. Clearly, they've been on a goddamn island, okay? They don't know anything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they know how to read.
Yeah. It's crazy.
This movie knows what it is, though. It's supposed to be a joke.
Oh, absolutely. It knows exactly what it is.
It doesn't take itself seriously.
What bothers me is, first off, they got, I'm going to just say, like, 30 playmates in this movie. And instead of making it more of, like, now we do get scenes of them washing themselves and playing in the water and all touching each other's boobs. And also just, like, doing jokes with their boobs. There's not more. And they didn't have attractive men.
Right.
The guys are very unappealing.
Yeah, they are, yes.
I mean, I would say maybe the brain guy is the most attractive of everybody in the movie.
I would say the brain guy is, yeah. If I was one of those women, I would choose him.
They put him in giant Buddy Holly glasses. They say, oh, he's smart. So put him in giant glasses, of course.
Which I think is cute.
He is the best looking guy, and he's the least annoying of the whole movie. And at the other guys, I feel bad for the women. Like, I just felt bad for them. Like, they have to do scenes with these two guys. Like, holy crap. But you could have gotten attractive men and these beautiful women and done more of the fantasy aspect than they do in this movie.
Right.
Like, they take time in this movie to make pesticide, because there's a subplot about how they need food, and he, like, helps kill bugs.
Yeah, there's bugs that are eating their crops.
Really cute little bugs that run away with little noises.
Oh my God, it's so bad. Like, it's so...
Can we... Look, this movie also is an all-star cast of, like, like, scream queens. Like, these women are on everything.
Yeah, Bauer.
They've done so many movies. And Michelle Bauer from Cyclone, Puppet Master 3, and Evil Toons from last week.
Mm-hmm.
She plays June. There's Griffin Drew, who plays May. She's in a bunch of weird stuff. And there's Toni Naples from Chopping Mall, Hard to Die. She's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Morgana. there are so many. We can keep going on, because even, like, the side ones, or the one that was sacrificed in the opening, is somebody. Like, they're all in these movies, especially for people like us who watch B movies like it's our job or our life. We've seen all these people, all these women
You know, they've all been like Sorority House Massacre and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So they're all B-movie queens.
Slimeball, Ball-O-Rama, and Chainsaw Hookers or whatever that movie was called. All of those movies. And so they have like the setup here. I don't know if it costs more. Hey, oh, we have to pay you more to do boob stuff, like show boobs more or do sex scenes. I don't know, because these are like playmates, like we were talking about, mm-hmm. that do the soft core, like pretending to have sex.
I mean, the budget was only $190,000 for this.
That's a lot to me.
$190,000?
Hopefully that only went to the women.
I hope so. But there's three of them that get... you know, that take their tops off the most. But it's like, I mean...
There's a fight scene.
I feel like this movie is, like, if you're going to have 30 beautiful women around, at least have them all get naked. You know, we only got to see three of them with their tops off. And they kept repeatedly taking their tops off.
There's two in the opening. The two other ones. One was like a sacrifice, and there's another one dancing.
Yeah.
And also there's the queen who fights later on and kind of gets her boob taken out.
Oh, she has a nip slip. That's not like anything.
But, you know what I'm saying? It's there. The TNA is so heavily there.
It's there, but like, I feel like they I know they cut the shit out of this movie, but like, if you're going to go there, just go there. I'm glad we didn't get any, you know, raunchy sex scenes, because I can't look at these three doofuses. They weren't bad. If it wasn't for the dialogue, like the dialogue on Schemer,
you want to punch him in the mouth.
Yeah. Cringeworthy. Like, I just couldn't take it. He was, you know, trying to be like a waka waka.
Yes.
But it was just so, it didn't land. It was very unfunny, very forced, and he could not deliver the jokes. He just couldn't, the actor.
Yeah, he's very unlikable.
He looks like Steve Guttenberg, like, you know, has like a nerdy twin brother, less attractive twin brother.
You think that's something? There was this bimbo actress I was dating back in LA. What a piece. Almost married her too. Then I got a look at her mother. Holy mackerel, what a puss on her.
There's an actor, I have his vision of who he looks like in my mind as other actor from 80s movies, but I cannot nail it. What movie it is, but I see his face and it's so close. It's just like this dweeby friend. Mm-hmm. You know, any of those movies from the 80s, when you have a group of guy friends, the one guy that was like the dorky one that always made the one-liners, that's this guy. And he's the lead. That's what's
baffling.
Wild about it. He's the lead. There's a part where he says, hey, stop for a minute. I want to talk to you about something. And she says, shoot. And he goes, I will in a minute. You know, like
a sex joke. Like,
I was like,
okay, it was so out of place. And he did many of those.
Yeah.
But the whole entire like plot of this movie is basically, okay, you're here. You're our saviors. You have the mark. You have the mark of the scroll and the prophecy, that stupid smiley face tattoo. And you're here to stop the beast.
The great one.
The great one, which is a T-Rex.
The T-Rex from Carnosaur, and mm-hmm. they have to kill it. And that's like the running mission. And you know, there's some crazy weird plot lines in this movie you think are going to come into play. First off, they talk about the volcano and how it's affecting the water, and the water is making people young. Then there's also a bug that's eating the crops, so they can't eat, and they have
They're having a famine.
I like that. And then there's also a weird subplot about these missionaries apparently went into the cave near the Great One. And they went in and they never came back. And they're like, nobody goes in the cave because there's a creature in there. And there's a scene where we get to see this creature, which is, I don't even know what the hell this makeup thing was. I don't even know what it was. But we see a dead body with a spear in it. And it, like, they show it in a way where we're supposed to know what it is. And you think that this is going to be a big plot about what is this cave, what happened here, who was this creature in the cave once a human, like, what is going on? Because there's also gold leading into it. And they're like, you think all these things are going to matter?
Yeah.
Nothing happens with any of these plot lines. And you're like, it's like almost like at one point they were like, let's make a movie out of a male fantasy, which is, what if you randomly went on an island and you found like 20 gorgeous women who didn't know what men were and you showed them? That's like the male fantasy, my God, right? Yeah. And they're like, okay, what if we did that, but write a movie? And then they were like, okay, you wrote a movie now, and we don't really care enough because we don't have a budget. Take half the movie out and just have them have sex and then kill a big dinosaur.
That's really all this is. And like every chance that they got to take their tops off, it's like, oh my God, I discovered a new leaf today. Oh, let me just take my top off.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so gratuitous and unnecessary at times, but...
Oh, none of it's necessary.
But that's why we're here. We're here because it's TNA. However...
These movies were a thing.
I feel like it's just missing a whole lot of, like, they could have added in some sexy things, you know, like more sex or more something. It's just, okay, we saw these boobs already. Okay, we saw those boobs already, and we saw those boobs already. It's like, okay, great, boobs. But, like, there just needed to be something more. And instead, we got Doofy Schemer and his bad dialogue.
Oh, Turbo, though. Turbo's worse, but I don't know who I can take more. Like, which one of these two?
I don't think Turbo is actually worse.
Can we talk about when Schemer tries to take out his girlfriend, well, the one that he likes, on a date, and ask her what her favorite food is, which she says pterodactyl is her favorite food. So he tries to go catch a pterodactyl. Now, can we talk about the pterodactyl in this sequence?
It looks like a red snot.
It's a hand puppet coming out of a fake mountain. It's just so sitting bad on his butt. It almost reminded me of, this is another deep dive from when I was a kid. They used to have, when you used to go to Pizza Hut, they used to have a sit-in Pizza Hut, and they used to have puppets, and I'll never forget it. They had a puppet for Land Before Time.
Yes, I remember this.
And it had, like, I think his name is Petrie, which was the pterodactyl.
I don't remember his name.
He looks exactly like that. It's like they took that puppet and bleached it.
Oh my God.
It's just sitting there, and it also looks like it's taking a dump, it's sitting on the toilet, and it's kind of like, meh, meh.
But my favorite joke in this movie is when they go to catch the pterodactyl so they can, you know, fry it up for her, for their date. It flies away and they don't get it. But he says to her on their date, so how do you like your pterodactyl? She's like, it kind of tastes like turtle.
Yeah. And then he goes, and he hides the shell behind his back.
I was like, why? I'm like, I shouldn't even be giggling at this.
Yeah, what's really crazy is that they said there's a famine. They don't have food, but this dumbass can go find a turtle for them.
I know. What? It's like, how are they finding food? Now, I don't know how big this island is, but the long shot of the island looks like it's maybe the size of a pea. It's tiny. It's tiny.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing a long shot. You don't remember
the long shot? Oh, my God.
No, I don't remember that at all.
It's so small. And so I'm like, okay, first of all, where's the fresh water? Is what I want to know. How are they getting water at all? It's just seawater around them.
They have, well, there's that scene where one of them is, the brain guy is hurt. And so they go and put him in a hot tub, essentially. And the girl, of course, gets naked with him in the hot tub and heals him. And I'm guessing that water can't be, like, seawater.
No. Well, he did say
that they have to have fresh water around.
It's burning my wound.
Because it was healing him.
Yeah. So that would be a perfect time for her to take her top off. So she takes her top off and they start making up.
Oh, she asks him, can you show me page 32? And he's like, yep. This is one of the scenes that was cut out. There's a long sex scene here.
I would have liked to have seen it.
Would you have? I was going to ask you, what if randomly in this movie, these three dorks had a full banging sequence?
Okay.
Wouldn't you have been disgusted beyond belief?
Maybe with the two of them, but not with the other one, not with Brain. He's actually the nicest looking one, but the other two are just awful. Their characters are awful. And I'm not even talking about looks. I'm talking about their characters. They're just awful.
Girls take one look at me and they get scared.
I don't blame them, though. Who'd want to go out with a Neanderthal like me?
A cave woman's a pretty safe bet. Besides, I think June is kind of the old-fashioned type.
I don't think sloping foreheads or knuckles that drag on the ground are a problem for her.
What if I'm bad?
Turbo, there aren't any other men on this island. Chances are she won't know the difference. Come on.
And I would have probably liked to have seen a sex scene with the two of them.
You want to see their O faces.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know what? Taking your top off, that's one thing. Okay, fine. Nips. Okay. Yay. We've done it 6 times already. We've already seen them. Give us a little more. This is a TNA. This is like a skin flick.
Wow.
Give us a little more. So I wanted a reason to go, oh my God.
Did you? You wanted that?
I wanted that. This, I mean...
That's so funny.
I mean,
What do you think about the whole, like, the kids today, like, the newer generation, they don't want any sex scenes in movies. And they feel like nudity is a bad thing.
What?
Well, what do you think about that? Like, they don't want nudity, which is really odd because there was a study that came out recently where they said that they've realized that with less wanting sex scenes in movies, now nudity has become more aggressive. They're like... It's so odd because sex scenes have become lesser in movies, but now nudity has become extremely excessive in movies where everybody's just showing off stuff. Well, and we know from within the last year of Academy Awards, about 3 or 4 films were full gratuitous sex scenes and nudity.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this, and I'm sure you can... You know, vouch for this also. When we were growing up and watching movies, it was most of the time, and I'll say 99% of the time, that the women were taking their clothes off. We never saw any penises bouncing about, you know, nothing like that. I mean, if I saw a penis on screen when I was 12, I would have screamed. I would have been like, oh my God, what is that? But now it's becoming... You know, I'm here for it. I am here for it because it's not right. Like, if you're going to have full frontal women naked in movies, then you should be able to do it with men too. That's only fair. And it wasn't always like that in the 80s. It was more of the women got naked. And today, I don't know what's going on with, you know, younger people today. Like, it seems like they're uncomfortable in their own skin. Because why wouldn't you want to see... nudity.
Well,
I mean, everybody
think that it's kind of like unnecessary to show the human body in a way where it's being like sold. Like, I think there's an idea. I think it's weird because the people who are doing this are not the people who are paying to see the movies anyways. So it's kind of bizarre. There's an idea what's like, oh, we shouldn't be holding women's bodies up or men's bodies up for, like pleasure. It should just be like the human body should be beautiful regardless. We shouldn't have to show it gratuitously.
Well, I mean, I understand that concept and that idea because, like, in a movie like this, it's just so okay. Let's just fling our tops off.
But
just
it's meant
fling
for
them.
That. It's meant to,
right?
You know.
But when a movie actually has, if the plot warrants it or it fits into the plot or the scheme of things, then that's one thing. You know, like let's bring up Poor Things. Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say, hey, I love the naked body just as much as everybody. But those sex scenes were over the top. Yeah. There's too many of them and not needed. They were gross.
I agree with this. I feel very strange. Like, it wasn't... It was supposed... The scenes were intentionally supposed to be, like, disgusting for sex. Because it was really about her learning, oh, there's pleasure. And then you realize... And it's also gratuitous and it's also
degrading. She was being degraded.
And while I feel like that lesson could have been learned better and not as heavy, I feel like the movie did it at like disservice by doing those scenes. And I think it kind of like hurt it for me.
Yeah.
I know some people just seemed like they're okay with it, but it was odd. It was an oddity.
Yeah.
To me
it was just too felt much. Weird. So like there that I do understand their concern, like, you know, younger people today, like, that was not needed in Poor Things. It was overabundance of distasteful things. I get it. But movies like this, like, you know, Andy Sedaris and, you know, you're actually this is what you're here for. You know what you're getting. You know you're sitting down and watching this silly, gratuitous, you know, tit flick. Is, you know, that's what you're getting.
I find it weird. Can I bring this up to you, though? I find the whole conversation, I feel like the whole thing is constantly being, like, contradicting everybody. Like, I feel like everybody contradicts themselves. Because there's, like, a whole push of people like, oh, yeah, women should breastfeed in public. Because it's a natural thing. It's beauty. But I also don't want boobs to be shown. Like, wait, why are you, like, okay with one but not the other? Mm-hmm. And then there's that idea where it's like, oh, if it is just women's breasts are normal and they shouldn't be, like, frowned upon seeing them, why? And then also the same people go, well, guys never get naked. But then I'm like, if a guy shows his nipples off, like, if he's shirtless, why is it so okayed? You know, like, they're saying, like, oh, if it's so normal for a woman that it shouldn't be a big deal, then why is it a big deal? And then why do they also complain that men don't get naked enough in movies? And then also my question is, I guess you were bringing up before that you don't see, you know, penis in movies a lot, in older movies. But you also don't see, like, vagina, you know what I mean? You kind of see, like, pubic hair. But we've learned, and we always joke around about this, we're, like, always joking around about the bush or whatever. But a lot of it is a modesty patch. It's actually fake to cover up the vagina. So what we think we're actually seeing isn't actually that. And so we're never really seeing the two, you know, like, crotch. We're seeing ass. And we have seen a lot of male ass. I mean, there wasn't one action star that didn't show their ass off.
Yeah, but
so it's like,
I don't know.
I never understood this thing about, like,
a different situation, I think.
I never understood this conversation about, like, oh, you ever notice the female superheroes are in tights? Like, the guys are too. Like, and also, there isn't one Marvel superhero male who hasn't, like, worked out and shown them bodies off. Like, who are they doing that for? They're not mm-hmm. doing it for the men. You know, yeah. Obviously, it's for women. And it's this idea, it's like, don't act like one's sexualized and the other's not. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's true. Like, when we got that that butt shot of Wolverine standing in front of the mirror.
Yeah, who's that for?
And Hugh Jackman has a nice tush.
Yeah. And
people are going to look at it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't care. Yeah. Everybody, I want to see his muscles. I want to see, just like I want to see Black Widow in Black Widow's outfit. Like, why is that such a thing to be frowned upon? Like, why is it not okay to find people attractive?
See, I think stuff like that is very silly. But I, like I said, I do understand the two, like, there's extremes of things, you know? Like, there's this, which is just gratuitous tits, you know, flopping around. That's what this movie's supposed to be, and I get it. But, like we were saying, you know, there's other times where the sex and nudity is so over the top. It's like, okay, do we need all of this? You know, like, we get it. We get it. We understand what's going, you know, what you're going for. We understand it. So why do you need all of this? It gets a little bit much.
Yeah, I know. It's really odd. And I guess I'm also contradicting myself when I'm complaining about, like, Poor Things versus this movie. Mm-hmm. Where in this movie, we're like, it's made for TNA. Whereas I feel like in Poor Things, it's saying something, but it does it in a way where I was like, okay, now you're overdoing it, and I feel like there was an easier way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that might be contradictory as well. I might be. It's a confusing conversation. It really feels like there's no win.
No,
there's
actually
no win to any of this.
I'm gonna go ahead and disagree with you on that. This movie is about an island full of dinosaurs and freaking women that are 3,000 years old. Okay, now you're taking this movie. This is a colossal joke.
Yeah, we've got the two ends of the spectrum. We've got the Academy Award movie, and we have the bottom of the barrel, late night trash.
Yeah. And you can't really compare the two, because
I think all movies can be compared to each other.
I mean, to an extent, yeah. But this is just a joke. I mean, you're talking about a $190,000 budget versus a freaking huge big screen experience that has huge actors and a big production behind it.
Well, that could have happened for Dinosaur Island. They could have thrown more money at it, made the monsters look good, and have maybe sexier scenes? Because I think, would this have been more cult favorite or actually cared about if it had like a muscular lead action hero guys in the movie making love to these women? It would have probably been sexier, because what we have is a stupid comedy that's only for guys to be like, oh, boobies. You know, maybe it would have been even like, oh, everybody could have appealed if they put more money toward it. You know, so it's like, if you can make you can make a movie like these Academy Award movies if you throw enough money at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Dinosaur Island had only $1 million more, it could have been something better looking. You know, it could have been something. And I think Andy Serdaris, we did Hard Ticket to Hawaii on here, which I think is, everybody's got to see it.
Oh, like, my God.
I think everybody's got to check it out because it's a TNA flick, but it's also got the guys who look good.
The guys are hunky.
The hunky yes. guys. They mock the guys sexually. Mm-hmm. The women are the smart ones. They're topless, and they're doing dumb things topless.
Yep.
But they're the badasses.
Yep.
And they make the guys look like idiots during sex. I'm like, it's something so crazy. And that didn't have I don't think it had $1 million. But they did. They went balls out. And we're able to do. Yeah, I know. That was bad. That was accidental. But you know what I'm saying here? Like, you can make something. What I would say is Hard Ticket Hawaii is cult status, like cult class. People know about it, talked yeah. about it. Dinosaur Island, no one's going to talk about this piece of crap.
Nobody knows about
it. The only people who know about it is the people like me who are late night watching this, and this was the closest thing to hot that they could find.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, there's beautiful women in it. There's silly dinosaurs. It's, but bottom line is, they kill the freaking T-Rex. Okay, they blow his head off.
I found our conversation about trying to figure out nudity in movies more interesting than I would ever find in this movie. Yeah, that's what I'm telling.
The plot, the end of the plot is like, okay, so they blow up the bad beast, the big beast. Oh, he's dead. Okay, great. Whee! So Schemer marries his girl on the island, and that's how it ends. Finn.
Well, there's like a couple things like...
Yeah. Do they get off the island?
They don't get off the island because the only person that actually wanted to leave the island, reasonably so, is the sergeant. I wouldn't want to get off the island either if I was like one of these army guys that then have like anything at home. And you meet like all these women and you're like now like a hero and, you know, someone loves you. Why the hell would you want to leave? Like, why would you want to go back to the shit that you're doing already? You
right,
know?
Yeah.
They're stuck in the army and everything. And the sergeant was the only one who wants to go home for some strange reason. And then finally, the queen is like, hey, I could use a king. And he's like, yeah, I'm staying behind too.
Oh, hubba.
Yeah, it was like a whole plot line where he's like, she's like, you know what? I have a map where we hit a radio. We got a radio from crates that washed up on the shore once before, which made me think there was other guys.
Right, no.
Because there was a whole bunch of other weapons they had, well, apparently.
How long ago was it?
Exactly. And then he digs it up. And you think that's going to come back, but no.
No.
He never uses a radio. He never finds out anything. It doesn't do anything. It's an oddity of a movie. It is extremely weak in plot. It's extremely weak in anything. It's like, you know, okay, we put this out only for that Skinamax, HBO late night cable sex scenes.
Yeah. I mean, the dinosaurs are freaking laughable. You got some of them with flaps hanging off. They look like they're like obese dinosaurs that like have lost weight and they have skin flaps hanging.
We gotta mention this one scene. I have to mention this other scene I completely forgot about. They all go on an adventure to go to kill the Great One because they have the two women have a battle over do we kill the men or not, and whoever wins will be the fate of the men. So the one girl on the side of the men wins. And so they all go off into this cave. Basically, it seems like only six of them. I don't know if the one that throws the bones and can read the future is one of their girlfriends.
Yeah,
I can't
even
tell. She is? Okay, it's weird. They all go off together, the six of them. No, seven, because the captain. They all go off to kill the Great One. And then they basically just have a whole night of weird stuff. And Turbo and his girlfriend go to have sex. And there's like a hand puppet T-Rex, a tiny one, that just laughs at them having sex. And he runs off. But they go, well, the Great One never showed up. I don't know what he did last night. And then we see that he attacked the village last night. And we see the Great One T-Rex puppet. But you see that it's bulging and his body is completely like the arm is wherever the arm is in the shot for the T-Rex. It's just like flaps.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. It looks like flaps. And it's terrible.
And then you think that the T-Rex, the Great One, is killing the village and all the people in the village are dead. But when they go back to the village, no one even mentions, oh, the Great One attacked last night.
No one says a thing.
A whole bunch of us died because one girl got her arm bit. Like, yeah. You think everyone's arm is going to get ripped off. And it was like, never mention this again.
Yeah, that's a plot point that you might want to mention.
Also, there's a baby T-Rex egg.
Yeah, there's a T-Rex egg that they never destroyed.
Never talk about
it. If they had destroyed it, then they wouldn't have to worry about there being a second one.
There's like five plot lines they're I so named stupid. That never go anywhere.
It's the whole movie is so stupid. It's awful. It is awful. I honestly thought that I would be having more fun with this.
Yeah,
because I love TNA movies.
But what did I tell you, though? I told you this is going to be the worst one yet.
And you said it. Wow.
I think I was right?
Yeah, I could have used more, like, banging or something, you know, just to make it, you know, just to make it be like, ooh, like, widen my eyes a little bit.
I'll find the scenes for you and I'll show you.
I already saw the three pairs of boobs already six times and, all right, okay, boobs. But it just wasn't enough to stimulate me.
Oh, jeez, wow.
Not in that way.
Oh, I'm okay. It did for my 16-year-old self.
TNA.
It did work for my 16-year-old self.
Oh, my God, boobies.
Oh, God, looking back at it, like, oh, man, no wonder. This is like a therapy moment for me. Like, this is like talk. There's a couple other ones I know I've seen when I was a kid around the same time.
No, I know the ones that you saw ones. Oh, my God, like Kelly Preston's boobs in the one movie.
Oh, yeah, Mischief.
Yeah, you like lost your mind when you first saw her.
Kelly Preston, though. I mean, like, there's a couple actresses. Elizabeth, the one from Back to the Future replaced her in the second movie.
Oh, Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. Elizabeth Shue and who you just mentioned. Yeah,
you liked Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd
was really cute.
Yeah, we had Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano. She was hot.
Jamie Presley. Anybody who did Poison Ivy, movies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, if you saw those in the middle of the night, like, well, but no, there's movies like this that nobody knows the name. There's nobody famous enough.
Right.
I saw another one. I have no clue, but I remember thinking, this is sexy, but it's, thinking back to it, I'm like, what was this thing that I watched? Like, there's so many of those. I still have never seen again. And we watch bad movies with our friends.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of TNA flicks. A lot with our bad movie night group.
And like, how have you not stumbled on these more?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we've seen some real bad shit, though.
Oh, I know.
But like, really disgusting stuff. But this one, I feel like I could have used more disgusting.
It is crazy. I love this whole conversation just turned into everything else. Like, we went everywhere in this journey.
Because this movie really didn't have much to talk about. It was like, okay, there's three sets of boobs. There's some really bad dinosaurs. There's three bumbling idiot army people.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the one guy got killed, too. We forgot about that. He just gets swatted.
Oh, he got, dies. Yeah, that's because he wasn't crucial to the plot.
Yeah, and he's we just watched a movie with our friends with this actor, The Empire of the Dark, that is so, it was so good that I cannot believe we didn't do it on here. But, yeah.
Because it's way too good.
It's way too good.
It really is. Like, it doesn't belong on Talking Trash.
It does. No, it.
It was just so, it was like.
Passion project. So I might bring it back in November. I don't know. We'll see.
Turkey Fest.
What are you going to give this out of 10?
Okay, so I thought this movie was just bad. I mean, it just really was. I expected more. I'm giving it a 2.
Yeah, right.
It's a 2. And I can't go any higher. I mean, there's just not enough.
I can't believe we're even giving it a 2. I mean,
I'm giving it a 2 because we at least had moments where we giggled because it was just so bad. And, you know, I feel like they, I don't know. It wasn't incompetent. I mean, it was. But I mean, I've seen movies like, made worse where you could see the boom mic and shit.
Well,
we have not seen a boom mic in this.
If that's the standard.
Okay.
That's so, I was going to say we made a list. We've been doing the ranking of the worst movies we've done on the show. And if we had to put this on the list, are you really telling me that Toxic Avenger 3 and Mortal Kombat Annihilation are worse than this movie?
No, this movie is really bad.
I know. Don't you feel like, but yeah, this might be the worst movie you've done on the show yet?
I don't think so, because I gave Mortal Kombat, I gave that a 1.
Yeah. So that's what I'm asking you. How would you give this one a 2 if you gave those two movies 1s?
God damn it.
And Leprechaun Back to the Hood as well. Oh, I mean, like, these are bad films.
Yeah, but I think I gave Back to the Hood. What did I give Back to the Hood? I think I gave it.
Well, we have 2? It at number 3, so it's right there with the other two. We've only given 2 movies 1.
All right, I'm going back down to. I'm going to take this one down to a 1.
This is just a straight up 1.
It's just a straight up 1. Because there's, like, nothing. It's just nothing. Like, I mean, there's really nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much is bare bones. I mean, like, if it wasn't for, like, attractive women and this the idea of, like, a cheesy dinosaur getting its head blown off or whatever happens in this movie, if it wasn't for those little things, there wouldn't be anything to talk about.
Well, the boobs and head are the only things that we're giving it a 1 for.
That sounded terrible.
So, yeah, that's it. That's what we're doing.
Are we putting it as the number 1 spot?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think this one's really bad.
I think I agree with you on this.
This is bad. But, yeah, we're going to go 1. So,
all right. Try to beat Dinosaur Island every movie.
Oh, jeez. God. All right. So, when I'm going to bring us to my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read out the two extremes of internet reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who fucks it up for the rest of us. And I'm going to start here with the 10-star review.
You found a 10-star review?
Okay, yes.
Holy crap. And I cannot believe it.
I don't know what to think of this one. So this, okay. The title is Super Funny and Filled with Gorgeous Gals. Okay. I love this movie. It has my favorite scream queen, Michelle Bauer, and a few other actors of B-movies. Loaded with nudity, gorgeous women, cheesy-looking dinosaurs, and it is campy as hell. It may not be a classic, but I love it anyway.
10.
Okay. All right. I don't... okay. I have something to say about that.
I mean, he had me in one part. Like, yeah, beautiful women.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And then he was like, funny. No.
No.
Not really.
Nope.
Maybe, like, a moment or two in the opening? Maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, not really.
No.
I think the only thing that made me laugh the hardest in this whole movie was the guy not being able to grab his cigarette. That made me laugh harder than anything else in this whole film. That's sad. That really is sad.
I think I laughed at the part with the dinosaur getting his head blown off. Because it just went black.
Yeah, it was like, that was the best special effect. Wow,
yeah.
10.
I don't understand it, because you know that it's not a great movie, but you're giving it a 10. I don't understand that. That's just not.
Well, here's my favorite thing about this. We actually are giving it a 1.
Yeah.
And now you're going to read a 1-star review, so we should completely agree.
Okay, yeah. So this one...
because we're a part of this now. We're the reason we can't have nice things.
Yeah, we are the reason we can't have nice things.
No. This movie is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, this movie is why we can't have nice things. That's true. All right, so this is titled The Worst Movie I've Ever Seen. This movie not only has terrible acting and a bad script, it also epitomizes one of my biggest film or TV pet peeves. when one character tells another character a word that is not in the latter's vocabulary, the latter repeats the word back to the former, pronouncing the word differently, since the actor read it from the script differently. That's why this person gave this movie a one.
What was the word?
Because she says chemistry instead of chemistry.
What are you doing?
Making a pesticide.
Pesticide?
Yeah, it's sort of like a potion that will help to protect your harvest.
Impossible. Magic is useless against the small ones.
This isn't magic. This is chemistry.
What is chemistry?
Both of these reviews I have just read to you are baffling, and I
do also agree. I hate when people... The actresses in this movie, they shouldn't know anything of what they're saying. Like, reading that... The smutty magazine type thing in this movie.
Yeah, they can't read.
How they could read and then know what my turn-ons and turn-offs are.
Yeah,
And also, they call guns fire sticks. But they don't... But then they know other things, like, very well.
Yeah.
That's so
They know
strange.
How to apply lipstick, too, apparently. It's just so... This movie was bad. And you know what? I can't even say it was trash, because trash would be an upgrade. This movie would have been trashy if there was, like, more sexiness in it.
Yeah, that's why we never give zeros. Because there's always something.
There's always something. I mean... I guess the one star would be...
Technically, it's like that Spinal Tap thing where, why don't you make 10, 11? You know, like that whole
because
thing?
Because these go to 11?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so our one is technically zero. But I don't want to give any movie a zero. I feel like there's always at least somebody tried
Somebody's
to make
trying.
A movie.
Somebody's trying.
I'll give these women credit because they acted. Like, they did things that they should be paid for heavily. Having to have fake sex scenes with these people.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's like... you can't really feel sorry for them. Because these actresses, these three particular actresses, have all done many movies like this. So they make a career out of doing movies like this, and they're fine with it. And hey, that makes them happy. That brings home the freaking bacon. So, fine. I'm here for it. I'm 100% here for it. And... I don't fault them at all. It's like, okay, you took this movie, oh, you're a dumbass. No, you're not. You took this movie, and you know exactly what you're getting into, and that's what you choose, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with your, you know, movie choices. That's what you choose to do. But,
I guess you're right. I guess I can't complain with that at all. You know how I know what you would have given this movie an actual good rating? If the woman from last movie... Evil Toons, Monique Gabriella.
Uh-huh.
If she was in this movie, you'd be like, okay, just gonna get more stars now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because she had the most amazing pair of breasts I still have ever seen.
I love it in the last episode, we talk about it so much.
I mean, they were spectacular. Spectacular.
So funny.
But, yeah, so I can't fault the actresses. They did a good job. They're beautiful.
They're actually... doing exactly what they're meant to do in this, and they were hired for. Some of the stuff is silly fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the one that makes out with Turbo, I feel bad for.
I feel bad. He was just gross. Like he just.
It was creepy.
Yeah, he was a creep. There's creepiness there. There's just something wormy about him as a person.
I think he even says it too. He's like, oh, people usually get run away from me.
Yeah, because you're so creepy. It's creepy. You know, like, he has that weird stare, and he's a creep, but, you know.
Was he the actor in Friday the 13th when he offers the guy a chocolate bar and he gets hit with the axe?
No.
Are you sure? Because all I kept thinking was he reminded me of him.
Yeah, no, that's not him. No, all right. That's a different actor. But, yeah. I mean, I can't.
All right, we watched a terrible movie. Next week, we're going to watch Joe's other pick, because she said in the opening of TNA, she said, oh, we're going to do a TNA? There's two movies I have to see. Showgirls and Striptease. So next week, we're going to see the Demi Moore classic Striptease.
I can't wait for this, because I've still never seen her boobs.
Never, huh?
Nope.
I hope we get the uncut version of it, because they did it like two times. There's another version which she doesn't show them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope we're not going to watch that one, because I'm here for TNA.
Yeah, it'll be, it's weird. All right, let's go. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, we're on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and The Crafty Misfit. Hit us up. Talk to us. Please tell us. Suggest bad movies. Tell us movies like this that you think we should watch on the show. I would love to hear it. And yeah, what could beat this movie on the top? Number one of the worst movies we've done on the show. I would love to hear it, because we need to know. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
May Almighty God have mercy on his soul.
Amen.
Come, sisters. We must bring word of the Great One's death to the Queen.
All right, men, let's get the gear and go.